Discovering the Philosopher in You, Lecture 2, The Analysis of Knowledge. What is Knowledge?
Well, in the last lecture, we discussed the question of the extent of knowledge, the scope and limits of knowledge. How much do we know? How much do we not know? And we found that actually it's quite difficult to show that we have the kind of knowledge that we take ourselves to have, in particular, to have the kind of justifications for our beliefs that we normally think that we have. It turns out that even our most common sense firm beliefs turn out not to have a very adequate justification. Well, the question we now need to discuss is, what is knowledge anyway? We took that concept for granted in the first lecture, as we knew roughly what it meant to say that somebody knows something. But let's now discuss what knowledge actually is. How is it to be analysed? Now, the question here is not, what do I know? Which things do I know? The question is, what is knowledge itself? What is the concept of knowledge? What does the word know mean? So that's what we need to do, look at that question. This is often called giving an analysis or a conceptual analysis. So we've got the concept of knowledge and we wish to analyse it. The word analysis suggests breaking something into parts, and that is indeed the way we should think about this question. So what we want to know is, how does the concept of knowledge break into parts? What kind of conceptual constituents does it have? What's it made up out of? Now here we need a bit of a philosophical terminology. We need to distinguish what are called necessary conditions and sufficient conditions. A necessary condition for a concept is the conditions which must be satisfied for the concept to apply. So if it's a necessary condition for me knowing something, that means, it's a necessary condition for knowledge, that means that it's a condition which must be satisfied in order for me to be said to know something. A sufficient condition, as the word suggests, is a condition which, when it's satisfied, will be enough, will be sufficient for somebody to have knowledge. So the question we're interested in is, what are the necessary and sufficient conditions for knowledge? That is to say, what are the conditions which are such that, when they're satisfied, we do have knowledge, and what are the conditions which are such that they must be satisfied in order for us to have knowledge? I think this distinction will become clearer as we go on, but I'm just mentioning it now so that you know the kind of thing that we're dealing with. It basically means what's involved in having the concept of knowledge, what parts does it have. Once we know what the parts are, we know what parts must be there for there to be knowledge, and hopefully at the end we will know which parts, when taken together, are sufficient for somebody to have knowledge. So that's the question we're interested in. There's a traditional answer to this question, and it's basically the correct answer. It says this: knowledge is to be analysed as true, justified belief. So knowledge has three parts, three constituents. When a person knows something, suppose I know that the Battle of Hastings took place in 1066, or I know that Paris is in France, then we should say that my knowledge consists of these three conditions or factors or elements. It should be true, it should be justified, and it should be believed by me. So let's discuss these each in turn and see why they are proposed. First of all, belief. This is the obvious one. If you've got somebody who's never thought about a certain question, has no stand on it, has no view on it, of course it would be absurd to say that they know anything about it. If somebody's never heard of Paris and never heard of the Battle of Hastings, never thought about those questions, it would be silly to say that they know that the Battle of Hastings took place in 1066. How can they know that if they don't even believe it or even have a view on it or have an opinion on it? They must have an opinion or a belief in order for them to be even candidates for having knowledge. So to know something, it's a necessary condition on that you should at least believe it. Belief is a necessary condition for knowledge. But belief by itself is not going to be sufficient for having knowledge, because of course you can have beliefs about things which are completely unjustified and completely untrue. Somebody might believe that there's an elephant in the corner and there's no elephant in the corner. So they don't know there's an elephant in the corner. What needs to be added? The obvious thing that needs to be added is truth. For your belief to be a case of knowledge, it must be at least a true belief. There can't be cases of somebody having a belief which is false and thereby them knowing something. Now, let's make a distinction here. Of course, they think they know something. If I'm hallucinating the pink elephant in the corner, then I will take myself to know that there's a pink elephant in the corner because I believe that there's one there. I falsely believe it. So I take my belief to be true, though my belief is not true.